is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Do I sound stressed? I'm kind of stressed. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. I have four kids under the age of six, and so our house is usually in some state of benign chaos all of the time with two chattering six-year-olds and right now a really crying four-month-old who cannot get enough to eat, no matter how much we feed him. This little fat man is always wanting more and more and more, but I think that's a great thing. Apparently, a lot of people don't. There's a new Pew Research Center study about marriage and parenthood that is showing that more and more Americans don't even think about children as really playing that much of a role in marriage at all. The report really gives a generation gap in terms of the way that Americans think about marriage, and one of the most interesting things is that raising children has decreased, the most rapid decrease, the most remarkable decrease in polling when people say this really isn't all that important of an aspect of marriage. What I want to know from you is, how does this happen? Do you think that among us, in our churches, in our communities, that you see the same kind of decoupling of marriage and children? And if so, why is that? Is there something about the way that we present marriage, the way that we even do wedding ceremonies, that gives the impression that children are just kind of something that happens to come along at some point, but not really essential to the marriage? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How are we doing in presenting a compelling vision of children within marriage? Not just children abstractly, but children within marriage. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join the conversation. But first, in the news today, the news is abuzz with the Libby commutation of sentence. Not a pardon. President Bush commuted the sentence of I. Lewis Scooter Libby in his conviction for perjury and obstruction of justice in the CIA leak case. And President Bush has been defending this action all day long. This is what President Bush had to say about it.
I thought that the jury verdict should stand. I felt the punishment was severe. So I made a decision that would commute his sentence, but leave in place a serious fine and probation.
Now, President Bush thinks this is a good idea and is communicating that he believes this was the right thing to do. He's not pardoning Libby at this point. He's simply commuting the sentence. But there are others who are saying this really is a travesty. This really indicates that you've got an administration that doesn't take law and order as seriously as they say. Joe Wilson, longtime critic of the administration, who's right in the middle of this particular controversy, had this to say about it.
This administration has demonstrated time and time again that it is corrupt from the top to the bottom. I think the president has short-circuited the rule of law and the system of justice that has undergirded this country in the entire history of the republic. The president, by commuting Mr. Libby's sentence, is guaranteed that he will be under no incentive whatsoever ever to tell the truth to the special prosecutor, who has said repeatedly that there remains a cloud over the office of the vice president. This cloud now extends over the office of the president. I think there is a very real suspicion now that the president himself is an accessory to obstruction of justice in this matter.
Now that is some pretty high criticism. He's an accessory to obstruction of justice. I think this conversation is probably going to go on for a day or two, and then will be forgotten for a while. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see the Scooter Libby issue really having much continued fuel for the next several weeks, particularly with everything else that's happening with Iraq and with the failure of the immigration bill and all of the other conversations going on right now. And speaking of the president, we have a lot of people who want to be in that Oval Office, having that job, including one woman.
Hello, Iowa!
Now, you may be one of the Americans, one of the large group of Americans that really loves the sound of that voice and can imagine that voice speaking to you from the Oval Office every single day. Or you may be one of another large group of Americans cringing at the thought of hearing that voice at the State of the Union. She's a really polarizing figure. People who love Hillary Clinton really love Hillary Clinton, and people who don't really, really don't. But she's campaigning right now in Iowa, trying to get some of that Hillary love going in the state of Iowa, and she is back and forth in the polls, anywhere from number one to number three, following John Edwards and Barack Obama. But she's got a secret weapon that they don't have, and that is Bill Clinton. As a matter of fact, Hillary Clinton, having Bill Clinton out there campaigning with her in that bright yellow shirt, standing up and speaking, it's a risky move because he's just a lot better than she is at speaking. And yet she stood up and said he's out campaigning for her. She thinks this is going to give great benefits to her in Iowa. And she actually said she is going to be one up on him on something. This is what she had to say at a campaign rally in Iowa.
As Bill said, we didn't get the great pleasure of being actively involved back in 1992 because Tom Harkin was running. So we didn't have the opportunity to really have the caucus experience. And so I'm excited to be doing this. And I'm thrilled to finally find something in politics that I'm doing that my husband didn't do. So this is a very special occasion for me.
Well, finding something that Bill Clinton has never done is a challenge, and Hillary Clinton says she's found it, and that is running in the Iowa caucuses. Bill Clinton didn't do it because Tom Harkin, senator from Iowa, was running in 1992, and he essentially just sucked all the oxygen out of the air. There was no room for anyone else to run in Iowa that year. She's going to run this year, and she thinks she can win with Bill Clinton at her side. In other news, Rudy Giuliani announced today that he raised $17 million in this second quarter. Mitt Romney has raised about $14 million, but that includes $6.5 million that he gave to himself. John McCain, of course, very, very poor showing, $11 million. Some questions about whether or not the McCain campaign is even viable anymore. In other news, there's a question right now going on about the controversy between Tom Tancredo of Colorado and Sam Brownback of Kansas. They're arguing back and forth between the two camps about whether or not Tancredo is taking money from a supporter of Planned Parenthood. And really, both of them are really lagging in the polls in every single state. Question is, will this even matter at all, ultimately? Or will both of these candidates even be in the race at the end of it? I think they're both trying to find a niche with socially conservative voters, and that is proving to be a little bit of a difficult thing to do. Today, I want to talk about the issue of marriage, and not just marriage in the abstract, but marriage as it relates to children. This new study, the Pew Research Center study about marriage, showing the way that people think about marriage and what's essential to marriage, I think is fascinating. What's fascinating about it in this national survey is that when Americans speak of marriage, what they think is important, faithfulness, happy sexual relationship, household chore sharing, adequate income, common religious beliefs, shared tastes and interests. But what they don't find all that important is raising children. Children don't really factor into the equation. So that you have in the Washington Post story about this, one woman in the District of Columbia saying, when I think of marriage, I don't think of children at all. I have them. But with marriage, I think of a husband and a wife, and I don't think it's the children that make it work. Now, my question for you is, what has happened that will cause us to see the marriage relationship apart from the raising and nurturing of children? Now, that's one thing for secularists to see it this way. But I'm afraid that there are many people responding to this survey, and many people who would respond exactly in this way to the survey, who are in conservative, Bible-believing, evangelical Christian churches. And I think you can see it in the way often we preach about marriage, the way that we do wedding ceremonies, in the way that we do premarital counseling, in the way that we even speak to couples. Children a byproduct, but not really something essential, something that is absolutely at the heart and center of what it means to be a family, what it means to be a couple, what it means to be married. My question to you is, how can we turn that around? Should we turn it around? It's something we ought to worry about. And if so, how do we turn the corner to reemphasizing children when it comes to marital happiness? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. 877-893-TALK. Children and marriage separated, but for how long? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. I want to be the only one for miles and miles, except for maybe you and your simple smile. I always wonder, who is she singing that song to, and what must he be thinking about that? Maybe you'll be there, but I definitely want to be there, and probably all by myself. More and more Americans saying the exact same thing. You notice what's absent? Babies. Toddlers, teenagers, children. Have we separated marriage from children in such a way that we no longer even get the Genesis pattern of be fruitful and multiply? I want to hear from you. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. The rest of the culture, it seems, is decoupling parenthood as part of what it means to have a good and fulfilling marriage. Do you think that in our churches, when people think good marriage, children figure into that equation? And if not, is that something we ought to be worried about? And how should we turn that around? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for a vacationing Albert Mohler, who's not really vacationing. I just went to the bookstore with him a little bit this afternoon. He's trying as best he can to take this July vacation, but it's not really that much of a rest, I don't think. But we're working on it. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. But before we turn to your calls, I have Brad Wilcox, who is Assistant Professor of Sociology at the University of Virginia, member of the James Madison Society at Princeton University, and he is the author of a fantastic book, Soft Patriarchs, New Men, How Christianity Shapes Fathers and Men. I think that Brad Wilcox's book is one of the most important books written in the past 10 years. And if I had to commend a list of 6 or 7 books that I wish every Christian would read, this is one of them. It is really an important and groundbreaking work that really demonstrates that some of the old rhetoric that we hear all of the time about having strong male leadership, that this inevitably leads to abuse or to neglect, Wilcox says no, and he shows you how a strong traditional religious sense of male headship actually is good for women and for children. Brad Wilcox, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
It's a pleasure to be here, Dr. Moore.
I am wondering if you can interpret for me what is going on with this Pew Research Center study about marriage and parenthood. What exactly is happening here? What are they showing in this study?
Well, the Pew report indicates that more and more American adults have disconnected marriage from childbearing and child rearing. And that's up dramatically, even from 1990, up 20 percentage points. So there's a marked move in the minds of many average American adults away from seeing that the wedding vow is necessarily connected or logically connected to, you know, to having kids and to investing in and rearing your children.
And what do you attribute that change to, that decline?
Well, I think it's attributable to a number of different developments. I think one thing is the sexual revolution and the birth control pill, which enabled people to think that sex and babies don't necessarily go together. And then, of course, we begin to think that marriage didn't go with sex and babies, too. I think it's also linked to unprecedented affluence we have, a lot of money in our country, and people think that they can kind of just get by on their savings and their wealth, and they don't have to rely upon, you know, their kids when they get old and infirm. I think it's, you know, it's linked to a popular culture which celebrates a kind of, you know, more hedonistic, you know, live a good life kind of message. There are all these kinds of things that fed into the emergence of this child-free attitude and approach to marriage.
Now, I notice when you look at the contributors to success in marriage in the Pew Report, there are all kinds of factors that are mentioned by people, including happy sexual relationship, household chore sharing, economic factors. I think that really plays into your thesis here, that you have sexual revolution combined with affluence and really a careerist mentality on the part of both men and women in families, and they come together to kind of push children out of the way.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, if you kind of dial back the time indicator, 200 years, people would have been really concerned about the kind of virtues that their future spouse might have had in terms of, you know, was this person hardworking? Were they responsible? Would they be a good father, a good mother? You know, we relied upon one another to bear and rear kids and oftentimes to run a common economic enterprise. Nowadays, marriage can be quite thin. You know, it can be basically just having a good time together in the evenings on the weekends. And there isn't that fundamental partnership covenant where, you know, two married persons are working together to raise children and oftentimes even, you know, to share a common economic enterprise, you know, a store or a farm or whatnot. This is less and less the picture of marriage in the U.S. today.
You know, Brad, one of the things I found really interesting in this study is that they contrasted the views of non-religious Americans with those of religious Americans, and they're quite different on all kinds of issues, such as cohabitation and that kind of thing, except when you get to the question, is it best for kids to have both a mother and a father? And in that question, there's really not that much difference between religious Americans and non-religious Americans.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, clergy and lay leaders have, you know, still have a big charge ahead of them. That is to really educate the men and women, the kids, in fact, you know, sitting in their pews on Sunday and, you know, attending a Bible study on Wednesday evening or a catechism class on Sunday morning, to educate them about the importance of, you know, a mom and a dad for the welfare of, you know, of the kids and recognizing, too, that if we cease to really honor, you know, the spirit, the intent of Genesis and of the creation narrative in the Bible, you know, the earth will be inherited by someone else, by some other tribe. You know, if Christians don't do a better job of really attending to the importance of pairing and rearing kids well, then they can, you know, let the stage pass to someone else, to some other group, perhaps, you know, Muslims, for instance. So the point I'm making simply is that from a simple sociological perspective, it's imperative that Christians do a good job of marrying well and then having kids and rearing them well.
All right. What do you think? Are you concerned about surveys that seem to indicate that more and more Americans are splitting apart and decoupling marriage from the rearing of children? They don't really see rearing children as being something that is necessary for marital happiness. It really is way on down the list. Why is that? Do you think that that would be the case in your church, in your community? If you were to poll the people sitting on the pews in your church, how important would they see the rearing of children in what would be considered a good marriage? How do we turn that around? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I've got some ideas. I think that a lot of what's going on in our churches when it comes to viewing marriage and viewing children is our fault. What we say in the pulpit, what we do in premarital counseling, what we do in the wedding ceremony. 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Moeller, and this is the Albert Moeller Program.
speaker. The rain is a-falling. The faucet is a-dripping and the kids are a-bawling. One of them a-toddling and one is a-crawling and one's on the way.
How important is raising children to a happy marriage? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. And according to the Pew Center, not very important to most Americans. But what I'm interested in is the church. What about in our churches? Do you think that there are subtle signals that we send in our churches, in our families, in our communities, that indicate that we think that children, that the raising of children, that procreation is not really essential to marriage? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Let me know what you think about this, 877-893-8255. In the meantime, I have on the line two of my favorite thinkers on the issue of the family, Brad Wilcox, who is Assistant Professor of Sociology at the University of Virginia and the author of Soft Patriarch's New Men, and Alan Carlson, who is the president of the Howard Center and the director of the Family in America Study Center. He also is the author of The Natural Family, A Manifesto, and a bunch of other really, really good books. I especially like it when Alan Carlson is looking at the intersection of economics and family, and I commend everything he writes to you to look at it. You'll find it fascinating. Alan Carlson, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Happy to be with you.
And Brad, welcome back. Glad to have both of you with me today. Alan, when you think about studies such as what the Pew Center did about the fact that more and more Americans are not really viewing children as essential to a happy marriage, don't you think we have the exact same problem in conservative Christian churches?
Well, I think we do. It's a very, actually, of this whole survey, that's, I think, the most disturbing thing in it, is this fairly sharp decline in the proportion of Americans who say children are important to marriage. In my mind, the only reason we do marriage as a special institution is something the state is concerned about, something the churches are concerned about and should be spending an awful lot of time promoting, is because marriage is where children spring up and have the best prospects for growing to be healthy, happy, prosperous, and successful citizens. That's the only reason we have put all this fuss there. And if more and more Americans see marriage as just sort of a sexual relationship with absent children or with children just as sort of a minor part of it, I think the institution, that's really just sort of spelling the death knell of marriage as a meaningful institution.
Brad Wilcox, you've done a lot of research on evangelical Christians, Roman Catholics, and others when it comes to marriage and family and these issues. How much do you think that the therapeutic captivity of the church in the way that we speak about issues such as marriage and relationships, how much does that contribute to a de-emphasis on children?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of the equation here. There certainly is a lot of focus on feelings and how we feel about this and that. And, of course, you know, sometimes having kids and raising kids doesn't always make you feel good, at least in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're focused just upon, you know, how you feel and how fulfilled a particular activity might make you feel on any given day, you could see how that mentality would make it less attractive for people to focus on the hard things in life. And one of the hard things in life is having kids and doing a good job raising kids. So I certainly think that there's a certain softness that's crept in to churches across the spectrum. And this softness translates into, among other things, not appreciating the importance of doing the difficult things associated with getting married, and that is having, you know, a large and fruitful family and doing a good job raising your kids.
I'm interested in either one of you or both of you. How much do you think that the American view of dating, the American practice of dating, the way that it is and the way that it shows up in evangelical churches, something that many evangelicals are saying we need to reconsider the way we do this, how does that play into the way that we understand marriage later on?
Well, I suspect it has a major role. Dating practices, of course, have evolved or changed along with marriage practices over the last 50 or 60 years, and it's become the actual date these days is a pretty rare phenomenon for young people between ages of 16 and, say, 25. What's happening more often, increasingly, at colleges, at universities, and even at evangelical schools is a tendency just for sort of groups to wander around without the formal pairing off, the dating process, which at its best at least allowed a couple to get to know each other and get to start thinking about maybe this is the one I should be pairing off with. It's particularly dramatic, I think, the decline is at the college level. When I was in school, I'm an old-fashioned guy here. When I went to college back in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, there was still the expectation that, hey, this is the place I should be meeting my future bride. And you kind of devoted yourself to that. That doesn't happen much anymore.
Very quickly, in our remaining minutes, either one of you, what would be the one thing you would advise a pastor to do to turn this around in his church?
Gosh, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
One thing I think I would recommend that you discourage cohabitation. Find ways to say, hey, if you're going to get married in a church, you're going to have to do it our way. Separate for a while.
All right, what do you think? What are some ways that we as churches can re-emphasize child-rearing when it comes to marriage? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, they go together like a horse and carriage. This I'll tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other.
That song is forever ruined because it was the theme song to the most repulsive television program in the history of Western civilization so far, Married with Children. But still, Frank Sinatra's trying to make a point. You've got marriage, you have family, you have children, but fewer and fewer Americans actually see it that way. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and the Pew Research Center has done a social and demographic trends report saying that fewer and fewer Americans, a dramatic drop-off, believe that rearing children is something that is really important to marital happiness. Do you think that that's true in our churches? Do you think that the same kind of attitude is present in conservative, Bible-believing churches? I think it is. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I have a student who got married this past February, and he and his wife were expecting a baby, not at the time of the wedding, but since then. And he had several of his friends, he said, who came up and said to him, well, I knew you were pro-kid, but I still know you were pro-kid this soon. First of all, the whole idea of being pro-kid is the way that you put procreation and having children and raising up a godly offspring is so foreign to the way that Christians have ever thought or spoken. But I think that there are several things that we are doing in our churches contributing to this. One of these things, I think, is just the very way that we do weddings. The fact that we're allowing brides and grooms to write their own vows as though what's happening at the wedding is some type of a personal romantic experience. It's not. Previous generations of Christians have always emphasized at the wedding ceremony the rearing of children. The fact that marriage is given for, among other things, the procreation of children and the rearing of children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I think also one thing that has changed is preaching. In conservative, Bible-believing churches, the way that marriage is presented in preaching is often put in such therapeutic terms, love languages and communication and all of these things, many of them that are important and many of these things that do need to be said. But marriage is cast in this way as though marriage is just some type of romantic relationship that takes all of the assumptions of a Hallmark card and continues that out into a legally binding contract. When marriage is much more than that, and in many ways much different than that. There is something deeper than that at work in marriage, but that's not the way that we speak. That's not the way that we talk. And so when you present marriage only in these romantic terms, and then you've got the guy who's sitting out there saying, you know, well, it just seems like a lot of heartache right now in my household. Just seems like a lot of drudgery in my household because I'm not even sure whether I'm going to be able to make ends meet this month. It's very easy for that guy or that woman to check out. And it also is very easy to simply say, well, what's important is that we have good communication, that we have this ongoing romance without thinking about the issue of children. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Do you think that we in our churches, that we're different than the rest of society when it comes to having marriage and children go together, or are we just as bad? If so, how do we fix it? We have Nate on the line who's listening on WHCB in Russell County, Virginia. Nate, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for taking my question.
Glad to. What's your thought today?
You know, I've been listening to your program, you know, and I see the different views. And, you know, my wife and I, you know, before we married, you know, we didn't really discuss that much, you know, and after we were married, you know, I come to find out that she had grew up in a family that was negligent to children, you know, and it was self-indulgence and, you know, do your own thing and, you know, kids came last. And I grew up in a family where it was a very large family, close-knit, you know, and family was really important. And, you know, come to find out, she doesn't want kids, you know, because it seems like she's carried the traits, you know, from her family over, you know, and I want kids. I'd love to have a, you know, at least two kids, you know, and have a family, at least my size, you know, as my dad, and I have a brother, you know, I really like the size of our family. And,
Nate, are you and your wife, are you believers?
Yes.
Are you active
yes.
in a congregation?
Yes, we are.
Well, I think that this is a major spiritual issue in your household that means that Ephesians chapter 5, you're going to have to really step up to the plate and minister to your wife here in leading in discipleship. This is a discipleship issue. I think that what Genesis 1 and 2 say to us, the whole idea about marriage being for the purpose of God ordaining another generation of welcoming life is something that is really crucial to your understanding of marriage as an image of Christ in the church. And I think that if you have a wife who's saying, I don't want children at all, that's not just a disagreement, should we have hardwood floors or shag carpet in the living room. That's a serious, serious matter that I would just encourage you to lead. Come in and say, this is a problem in our marriage that we need to work through. I'd talk with your pastor. Hopefully you've got a godly pastor in your congregation who's going to be willing to talk with you and work with you on this. But it's really crucially important. I wouldn't see it as just a minor disagreement. What about you? What do you think most of the people in our churches, do they see the raising of children, the rearing of children, as really essential to a good marriage? And if not, why not? Why, when the rest of the culture is moving away from the idea of seeing children as being essential to a marriage relationship, why are we doing the same thing? Why is that the same complete situation in our churches right now? We have Mark on the line. Very quickly, Mark, what's your thought on this?
Well, I've heard Dr. Mohler and yourself maybe discuss this issue before on the show. And I understand what you're saying and appreciate what you're saying. I do think sometimes we're a little off in hitting the root cause for some of this, and I wish rather than talking about, you know, as a married couple you need to have X number of children, we could talk about traits such as materialism and selfishness, because those traits exist in families even where there are several children. And it's those traits that I think we ought to deal with that then might, you know, lead to couples making choices about expanding their family.
Well, thanks for that comment, Mark. I don't really agree with you on that, because I think that selfishness and materialism, yeah, they're at the root of this, but they're abstract. Everyone thinks he's not selfish. Everyone thinks he's not materialistic. Where do you see it? You see it here. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Well, all I had to do this morning was put the shoes on the 2-year-old, and I did it. And turns out I put them on the wrong foot. So I'm not exactly Mr. Mom today, but this is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler program. And today we've been talking about this Pew Center study report saying that more and more Americans are decoupling children from marriage, and that more and more Americans, when they say what makes a good marriage, are talking about things like sexual satisfaction, personal compatibility, personal communication, personal fulfillment, all of these very personal, romanticized, therapeutic notions, and way down on the list is the rearing of children. I think that's a major problem in our churches. And I think part of this has to do with the way that we even frame marriage as we're speaking and preaching about this, and the way that we don't recognize some of these streams out there in our culture that come together. As Brad Wilcox mentioned, the sexual revolution, the fact that we have more and more wives who are exercising on strippers' poles because they believe that this is something that is necessary to a good marriage, the fact that you've got a commercialization and a real race for affluence in American culture in which you have both men and women hard charging, working as hard as they can in order to make ends meet, and the increasingly therapeutic cast of American culture, all of these things are showing up in our churches. So that you go to a wedding ceremony, and what you hear in a wedding ceremony could easily be a radio psychotherapist with Jesus tacked on every few moments in the wedding ceremony, rather than the community of the people of God coming together and charging this couple. You've got a responsibility. Your responsibility is to fidelity. Your responsibility is also to providing for the next generation. And a lot of couples aren't blessed with children. I was one half of an infertile couple for a long time. But infertile couples also must be open to the life of parenting. For some of you, that means adopting. For others of you, it means pouring yourself into the life of the church as spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers in the church and in the lives of young men and young women. But the last thing we ought to do as Christians is to say, children, that's optional. This is Russell Moore sitting in for a vacationing Albert Mohler. Happy 4th of July. We'll be back to talk about the issues that matter for the rest of the week. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.